Yeah.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by my good friend Christian Castain. Chris, how are you doing today? It's a new year, new us, new just podcast in general, just a completely new year.
Yep, completely brand new. It's exciting that we're back in the new year. New podcast, new season. Everything's new. We're kind of restarting.
Right. So let's just get into the show.
Excuse Eric while he's typing.
As I'm working on direct message to try to line up a guest for us tomorrow, because that would be uber special if we could have three people on the podcast tomorrow, which will be our overall predictions podcast. But today we're going to talk a little bit about news. We're going to talk a little bit about playoff scenarios. We're going to talk about teams that we believe in, teams we don't believe in, everything in between. I think that we should just get going, and I know we have these two things on the script. We have Marvin Lewis's contract extension, which is frankly crazy. I think you and I can both agree on that. Like, I don't know why they're doing that. The Bengals
it's almost like that was an absolute joke, because that was absolutely ridiculous. I don't see how he got the contract extension. He doesn't deserve it. He's been there for 15 years, 0-7 in the playoffs, and has a barely above 500 record as a regular season coach. This is completely inexcusable. I just don't think the Cincinnati Bengals care about winning. That's what it tells me, because it's quite obvious that he's been there for 15 years and they're not winning, and he signs another contract extension. I shouldn't be surprised, but
Bengals are still a tire fire in 2018. Some things never change. Yep. Bruce Arians retires. This is a sad personal note for me, because I really like Bruce Arians. He was actually born where my and grew up where my grandparents lived. So I feel a slight connection to Bruce Arians through that, I guess. But also, he was a fantastic coach and an all-around good guy. Got his chance later in life, when he took over that year for Chuck Pagano in Indy, when Pagano came down with cancer and beat it, fortunately. Good for him. Unfortunately, he's out of a job right now. We talked about all this on Monday while Chris was out watching the Rose Bowl. Chris,
yep.
let's get your scouting report. NFL ready players that you can take away from both playoff games. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but just based on the eye test, no stats involved, who do you think is going to be the next great NFL player? Why don't you give me one from each team?
I'm going to give you one from each game.
All right.
one you'll be very excited about. But from the Georgia game, Sony Michel, I was talking to Tristan, of course, our buddy at PSF, earlier. Him and Nick Chubb will be, I think Nick Chubb will be a first round draft pick, but I think Sony Michel could be the next Alvin Kamara. I really do. Like, I don't think he'll have as big of stat lines as Kamara does, but I think Sony Michel has the best chance of translating into the next Alvin Kamara. As far as Nick Chubb goes, I think he will be a first-round pick. I think he's already been set as the first-round pick. I don't think the national championship will affect him either way. And on the Oklahoma side, Baker Mayfield, he still looks like a top-five draft pick, in my opinion. I think he's still a very good football player. I know what happened in the second half, but I think that was a whole team effort. But Baker Mayfield, I think he'll go in the top five, at worst top ten, but I think he's probably, Josh Rosen is probably the best quarterback coming out of that draft, out of this draft class, but Baker Mayfield is the second. This is a pretty strong quarterback draft. It really is. And as far as the other game goes, I want Jalen Hurts to go to Denver. Wouldn't that be an exciting move if he went into the draft? class and went to Denver. Wouldn't you be excited for that?
Well, I mean, your ill-fated attempt at humor once again beguiles me. But we are just, we're not at that point as the Broncos are. Come on, give me a serious take from this Alabama-Georgia game. Like,
you mean Alabama-Clemson game?
Alabama-Clemson game. Why was Alabama just, Clemson just manhandled? That shows you how much I know about college football. Why I don't appear much on the college football podcast. Why was Alabama just able to manhandle Clemson?
Because there was no Deshaun Watson. Kelly Bryant is not Deshaun Watson. I think in order to beat Alabama, that Clemson team needed a Deshaun Watson. Kelly Bryant looked scared. He was, of course, he's a freshman. I think that was part of the reason. He was a true freshman. I just don't think he really had the... He's not as talented as Deshaun Watson. That is why they lost that game. Plus, Clemson doesn't have the run game like any other team does. It wasn't... And it also... I know we said they dominated the game, but they really didn't offensively. Two of those touchdowns were turnovers. One was an intercepted pass, and then another was a fumble return for a touchdown. If we take those two things away, this game's a close game. This game's a 7-point game, and I really think Clemson would have had a chance, but it was so far behind in the fourth quarter. Even when Clemson started to get their groove on offense, it didn't matter.
Why is this Mika Fitzpatrick guy so sought after? I know our good friend Tristan Beckman had him in one of his first mock drafts going like first overall, and he still has him going pretty high in his current mock draft. Who is this guy? What, I obviously don't watch a lot of college football. He seems to be a guy who's getting a lot of pop. Do you think he can translate over to the next level? And then, just to show how much of an idiot I am, what position does that guy even play?
Oh my goodness! And to be honest, this is tough for me too, because I don't get that far in depth into like the players. I don't get that like into draft picks and stuff like that, like Tristan does or somebody like that does. But he seems like a linebacker, in my opinion. You don't put him on the line, obviously. I mean, that's quite obvious.
What position does he play right now?
He plays a defensive back, I believe. I can't confirm that. I cannot confirm that. Like I said, like a...
college football takes, come to the Enzo podcast.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, seriously,
All right. That's good. Then that wraps up our segment of college talk. On to
unexpected.
Yeah, unexpected college talk sprung on last second by Eric Jensen. so let's move on to NFL talk. The playoffs are here, and I'm so excited. I'm ready to watch these games this weekend. Tomorrow we're gonna bring you our full playoff preview show. Okay, Chris, we're gonna make a pact right now. We can't. Unless it's the divisional round, you can't give any spoilers as to who your picks are for winning the Super Bowl. Like, your best team?
Yeah, sure.
They might win the Super Bowl, but no one knows for sure. You can't tell us how far you have these teams going. You just got to talk about the product they have. Got to talk about, I know you're a big stats guy. Talk about them statistically. And
hold on a second. Before we move on, I just want to let everybody know Fitzpatrick is, of course, a safety for Alabama. I didn't know his exact position, but it is safety. I can confirm that.
Awesome. Well, that's End Zone Insider Christian Castain confirming that a player's position is indeed safety. All right,
besides the point.
Let's get to these questions. And I thought we'd jump back and forth, and this may be bad podcasting, and counting on our track record, you'll most likely miss one of these. But, okay, so we're going to rotate asking these questions just so I don't have to ask them every single time. So I'm going to go through while you ask the first question to me and go ahead and bold all the questions I will be... No, bold all the questions I'll be asking. But go ahead and take it away.
All right, well, I'm going to take it away now. Who's the best team in the AFC?
Well, for me, that's a no-brainer. I think it's the Patriots. I think the only glaring weakness I can see is the offensive line. I think that there's a few problems there, a lot actually, but I have full confidence in Bill Belichick that he'll fix that all during the playoff run. I think that Brady has the best pocket mobility he's ever had in his NFL career. And I think that he can take them all the way to the big game if he has to. No spoilers here. If he has to, he can take that team to the Super Bowl, of course. The defense everyone's really concerned with, but I watched James Harrison on Sunday, and he's still a beast. And I believe that he will make a major difference in this playoff run. And that's how I'm standing with it. I'm sticking with the Patriots here. Okay, I think I know your answer for this one, but who is the best team in the AFC? And if you say the Patriots, give me your close second.
It's the Patriots and then it's the Steelers. I don't think it's even close. There's really no debate here. It's quite obvious. Patriots are the number one. The Steelers are number two. The Steelers have... Even though I'm going to say that offensively the Steelers have more talent, the only thing that's scaring me is the fact that we've seen that they're inconsistent. They're inconsistent on the offensive side of the football. With that much talent, they shouldn't be. But going back to the Patriots, the only thing, and me and you talked about this the other day, and I know I said it, the pressure's getting to Brady, and I'm very worried about that. Being the fact that it's just the Jets, and the Jets had multiple sacks on Tom Brady last week, that shouldn't be happening. That's unexcusable. I guess the Jets, I know the Jets are okay, but they're not great. And I'm worried about them if they go up against a team like Jacksonville, I think, which we'll get into this a little later, talking about sacks and stuff like that. We'll get into over-unders and stuff, but I'm kind of worried that they could get multiple sacks on Tom Brady if they met up, or even the Kansas City. Those are the teams that should be that the Patriots should be concerned about. Which I know we were going to talk about sleepers and stuff, but I'll get into that later. I have a different team for that. But yeah, that's my main concern for the Patriots is the fact that their offensive line is so it's as weak as it's been in years. And can they improve before their divisional game? I don't know. You would like to think so with it being Bill Belichick, but I don't know. It's rough.
Who is the strongest team in the NFC?
It's the Rams. I know, and like I said, the reason it's the Rams is because offensively they have so much firepower. It's more than any other team, and it's not even close. Defensively, I like them, but it's particularly on the offensive side. They have the number one scoring offense in the league. They are top 10 in pass and rush game.
You okay?
Yeah, I was looking at your message. It went off in my ear.
Bro, you gotta double task. You gotta multitask.
I don't multitask.
Get back. Alright, but Rams, tell me
but,
why. Okay.
But anyway.
Okay. I want to know this from you. What's the Rams' biggest weakness?
What's their biggest weakness on either side of the football?
On any side of the football.
It's defense. I was going to say offense, but though. Yeah, because they have a top 10 rush and pass offense. I think defense, if you're going to be concerned about anything, it has to be the defense. If you're talking about talent-wise, I know you're... I know you're... I know you're going to get into them being too young. I know what
Aaron you're... Okay, hold on. I was expecting you to go a different route, but you're being disrespectful. Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, Alec Ogletree, like, these are guys that the entire league has said for weeks and weeks on end, and if you watch them, they're a good defense.
Yep, but you asked me what I would be more concerned about, and...
No. There are... I was hoping you'd go a different direction, but...
I know what direction you thought I was going to go into. You thought I was going to go into them being too young, and...
No, I thought you were going to go into them being... having no kicker, which is where I'm concerned, because Sam Ficken can't kick field goals. And if you can't kick field goals in the playoffs, we saw what happens when the Seahawks had, when Minnesota had
blood. I thought we were talking about offense and defense.
No,
I thought we were talking about offense,
defense.
I didn't know we were going to get into special teams.
We're talking about the team.
But yeah, I understand your point.
We're talking about the team as a whole.
Okay.
But no, I would.
You have a point.
The Rams' defense has zero weaknesses except maybe safety play from time to time. But everyone else on that defense, they have like 7 Pro Bowlers. You know that, right?
But I don't. But I don't think their offense has a weakness either. So it kind of.
Well, I'd say there's no.
You
weakness.
Make a choice. Okay, then. But you said what is the one thing to be concerned about, if any? And I said defense because I'm not concerned about their offense at all. I mean, really, it's really a match between which one do you want.
All right, let's talk about the team. Do you want to ask me who
is the best? Yeah. Who do you think is going to be the best, or who do you think is the best in the NFC?
I'm going to second your thoughts. I think the Rams are the second best team in the NFC. Their youth concerns me a lot, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. I think from a talent and on paper standpoint, they have the most talent in the NFC. And now I'm going to throw it to you because I know you and I differ on this. Who has the most talent overall of all 12 playoff
games? Oh my goodness, that's tough. It has to be the Rams. They have the most talent on both sides. I know you're going to say New England. Probably. I'll give it to you that there's a chance you won't, but I'm going to assume. But the reason I say the Rams is because they have no weakness. The New England Patriots have a weakness, and it is on the offensive line. We talk about the Rams. We do not talk about weaknesses. They are the most talented team in the NFL.
Yeah, I think the Patriots, obviously, that's where I'm going with this. I think they are the most talented team in the field. I'd put, as far as the Rams go, I'd probably put them at 2, but the inexperience plays a large role for me. I'd take a team like the Saints, who have a very solid overall game, and their experience in Drew Brees, and take that and trust that more than I trust Jared Goff. But at the same time, I think you have an excellent point, and I couldn't argue with the fact that you'd have 1 Los Angeles and 2 New England.
So we're going to really move on to our next one. Who do you think is the best team out of in the field? Meaning, besides...
We just asked that. I asked for bold ones. You asked for the light print ones.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know. We did not ask that. Oh, well, that's not what I answered.
Yeah, we did. That's
not
what we answered.
Oh, that's not what I answered. Never mind. We'll move on.
The Rams aren't the best team in the field.
Oh, never mind. I got confused. That's my fault.
Oh, Chris, come on.
Which...
all right.
I thought we were talking about outside of the two best. Never mind. which team's a sleeper on either side?
Okay, let's start in the NFC. I think your Atlanta Falcons are a sleeper. I know that on paper, the statistics don't show it, but once again, in the playoffs, I'm a big experience guy. I'm a big what I've seen with my eyes guy. And I'm a big guy that believes that when it has counted the most, the Falcons have won the big games. Do I think the Falcons can win the Super Bowl this year? No. I don't think they can go to the Super Bowl. But would it shock me if the Falcons if the Falcons beat the trendy young Rams in week one and then went to Philly, beat them, and headed all the way to the conference finals? No, that wouldn't shock me at all, because I think that they have more experience. I think they've been here before. I think whereas everyone makes the 28-3 jokes and whatever, but when it comes down to it, I think
seen those way too often.
I think the Falcons learned from that experience, and I think it made them a better football team. And they have to use Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman correctly, which is a big ask for Steve Sarkisian for some reason. But I think if they can do that correctly, I think they have a chance. They have a very good defense. I know they haven't played that way, but the way they played against Carolina, it changed my opinion. I take a lot of how a team is playing going into the playoffs into consideration. And on the NFC side, it'd have to be Atlanta. For you on the NFC side, who's this leader?
For me, it's the Carolina Panthers. And it's really all based on how Cam Newton plays. We've seen if Cam Newton throws less than one interception, they are 11-2, I believe. They have a really strong record with that. If Cam Newton does not throw or throws less than one interception, of course, when he doesn't, they are 0-2 or 0-3. For me, he's the difference maker. If he plays well, the Panthers can go far. If they can get past New Orleans, which I don't think they will, I don't think they're gonna. I wouldn't say they would. I know that's why I'm saving predictions for tomorrow. I'm trying to, at least. But Cam Newton is, because we know that defense is legit. We know that defense is very good. And we saw it on Showcase last week against the Atlanta Falcons, your sleeper pick. But yeah, that would be the real reason why I would say the Panthers are the sleeper, because, but this NFC is so wide. I think anybody has a chance to go to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, moving to the other side of the bracket, the AFC, I know this might shock you, but I think the team that's the sleeper in the AFC, obviously not to go to the Super Bowl, but to win and maybe give New England trouble, as they often do, I think it's the Buffalo Bills. I know that the Jaguars have a great defense, but, and I guess we could talk a little bit about the Jaguars too, but I know a few weeks ago I was on Blake Bortles, but the past few weeks I've just gotten completely off, because the guy, he'll either throw 3 touchdowns and the offense will steamroll you and the defense will hold up and you'll look like an awful team and we'll be like, oh my god, the Jaguars can win a Super Bowl. Or he'll completely implode, throw 2 interceptions against a bad Titans defense, and just yep. look like regular old Blake Bortles. He's so volatile that I can't believe in Blake Bortles, and I think the Bills are the team. I said this on our last podcast, and I'm going to save all my picks for tomorrow's show except this one. I'm taking the Bills in this game because I don't believe in Blake Bortles, and I know that LeSean McCoy might be out, and I know that the offense is really mediocre because Tyrod Taylor is a mediocre quarterback, and all they really have is him and Kelvin Benjamin. So I believe that the defense, though, has been coached extremely well this year. I believe Sean McDermott is just as deserving of Coach of the Year looks as Sean McVay is, because he's taken a no-name defense and gotten them to perform like a playoff defense that could win some games. And it would not shock me at all if they won this game and then went into Foxborough and played the Patriots really tight like they always do. I don't think they'll go all the way to the Super Bowl, but it wouldn't shock me if it's a touchdown game or a 10-point game against the Patriots if they go ahead and beat the Jaguars. That's my sleeper on the AFC side. Who's yours?
For me, it's tough because it's so many what-ifs. Like with Jacksonville, what Blake Bortles are you going to see? With Buffalo, the safest pick for me is Kansas City. Nobody's given Kansas City any respect. Nobody's given Kansas City any discussion at all. And I think if everything goes right, this will be like my in a later segment. But for me, if Alex Smith can go back into be a little more aggressive, and Kareem Hunt and can get back into the game and rush for, say, 100 yards or around that, get a couple of touchdowns, I think the Kansas City Chiefs could play anybody close. Patriots, Steelers, I think they play any of them close. I know they had that rough stretch down the stretch, but I don't think that defined that team. I think they're probably the... I don't have as many what-ifs about that team as I do for Jacksonville, Buffalo, Tennessee. That's why I'm going to pick the Chiefs for this one.
I completely agree, and I think that leads perfectly into our next question, which is, who is the most disrespected team in the field? And to you, clearly, it's Kansas City, correct?
Yeah, it is. I was thinking of those.
I'll second that opinion on the AFC side. I have someone else for the NFC side myself. That's my pick, but I will completely agree with you. And no spoilers, but go ahead and go look at my pick'em piece on ProSportsFandom.com, Chris. I think you'll be very happy about the Chiefs because I did not disrespect them. And that's just a little tease for next time's show, but I think they've heated back up. Yes, the 2-6 spot stays in my head, and yes, the fact that they have disappointed in the playoffs year in and year out sticks in my head. But it would not shock me at all if they. I'll just say it. It would not shock me if they went to the conference title game. But I could also see them very easily, with the way the defense is playing, somehow getting shocked against Tennessee. I think that's more likely than people are making it out to be. I just don't know about this Chiefs team. They have a really high ceiling but a really low floor, and until the playoffs start, I just won't be able to make up my mind.
Tennessee's Tennessee.
Hold on.
Oh.
We're not arguing about this stuff. We're just getting it out there.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying.
For me, my team is the Minnesota Vikings. And I get it. Case Keenum isn't a sexy name, but you can't ignore the way he's played. You can't ignore how good that defense is. In my books, that's the best defense in the NFC. And people forget that the Rams went in there and they only scored 7 points. The league's best offense was held to 7 points, and the Vikings ran away with that game. I think it's totally disrespectful to not respect the Vikings as a real contender for a Super Bowl. Now, I don't want to hear you say, well, a team's never played in their own building for a Super Bowl. Because
oh, well, I think it.
Well, who cares? Like, boundaries it, are not broken. Like, history changes. Like, history is not set in stone. I want to make that very clear. Like, you can't just say, oh, back in the day, we didn't have lights, so I guess we can't have lights now. So, like, it's ridiculous to make the argument that that the Vikings can't win a Super Bowl just because no one's ever played in their home field. They definitely have the talent and they have the skill, and I love the Vikings, and I think that they are being slept on. Moving on to our next...
Do I get to pick my thing?
Well, you already said your thing. All right, go ahead.
I want to pick for the NFC. I want to pick...
Oh, we're only doing one for one overall.
You did two.
No. I just backed up your point.
Okay. That's fine. So, out of the games, which one do you think is the biggest chance for an upset?
I'll be honest with you. I think the largest chance for an upset is the Bills, simply because of Blake Bortles. But you know me. I like to go bold. I'm not a safe picker. My takes are not safe. They are bold and beautiful. And
yeah, they are. They're bold.
I think that the Falcons have a real chance to upset the Rams. I can't explain it over statistics. I can't tell you that the Falcons are a better team. What I can tell you is that this is the first time Sean McVay's been in the playoffs. This is the first time Jared Goff's been in the playoffs. This is the first time Todd Gurley's been in the playoffs. Wade Phillips has coached a great defense before. I know that'll stay constant. But on the other side of the ball, I'm not so sure. And it would not shock me at all if somehow, some way, the Falcons went and they played their best football, as they do in the big games, and knocked out the Rams. That's who I'd say has the biggest chance for an upset, although it's not the biggest. I just contradicted myself there. I think the biggest chance is the Bills, but I already did that one, so I'm going with the Falcons. Who do you think has the biggest shot for an upset in the wild card round?
I think there's only one chance. There's one and only one chance, and that is the Buffalo-Jacksonville game. Because Blake Bortles can be, when he's bad, he is historically bad. When he throws one interception, he's throwing four. We know that's going to happen. Or we don't know that's going to happen this game, but there's a risk if in this game. I'm going to go the safe bet. I think he could have a bad game against this good Buffalo defense. This Buffalo defense is good, and I haven't seen Blake Bortles play this type of defense yet. And I think he could struggle mightily in this game. I wouldn't pick Buffalo, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if it wasn't an upset. And if I were going to go the second game, I would agree with you, and it would be for the exact reasons you said, pretty much. But for me, and I don't want to get into my pick, but for me, the coaching on both sides between that Atlanta and the LA Rams, the Rams coach their players better than the Falcons do. Especially offensively. And I should say scheme. It's not coaching.